Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so we're going to go to Dan and Big Fork next. I do want to direct you to Montana Talks, Aaron Flint's MontanaTalks.com. Go there. Aaron has a story. It's titled Montana's Massive Improvement with More Tax Reduction to Follow. So go there and read this. It's informative. And here's what it talks about. It says, you got to check out the chart below. Look at the states that raised taxes. Look at the states that lowered taxes. Now look at Montana. And it says, it quotes Greg Franks as saying, Montana has the second highest percentage drop in income taxes, coming in just slightly behind Iowa. With Gianforte's additional drop this legislative session, Montana will probably rank the number one income tax decline in the entire United States in the last 25 years. So go read that story at MontanaTalks.com. And we're going to go to Dan in Big Fork. Dan, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I was just talking about this sales tax, and I'm not for any kind of sales tax, but you know, over here in the Flathead, we've got two sales tax in Whitefish, and then they just passed on here lately in Columbia Falls, those resort sales tax. And I was just wondering why we couldn't, like, because everybody says it's for the tourists. Well, if you show a Montana ID, why can't that be exempt from that? Oh. You know, I can go to North Dakota and buy stuff, show them my Montana ID, and I'm exempt from their sales tax. If North Dakota can do it, why can't Montana?
Wow.
North Dakota does it for Montanans.
There you go.
You know, you show them your ID, and there's no sales tax.
Huh. How about that? You know, I think I knew that one time, but I had forgotten about it. That's a great point. See?
Yeah.
Here's another guy, Dan, does his research, knows what he's talking about. That's great.
Well, it'd be nice, you know. Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, then you're going to get the tourists for sure, and you don't have to, you know, built the Montanans. So.
Exactly. Yeah, Dan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. See, maybe there is a way to do it that makes it make sense, but, you know, I'm against the government taxing us for anything. Don't get me started. Let's see. Oh, here we go. 19D in Joliet. I'm going to catch up on our messages from our Montana Talks app. 19D in Joliet says Brad Barker of Carbon County did the sales tax. Brad Barker of Carbon County did the sales tax. Let's see here. Coco and Bozeman, if we can replace property tax with sales tax, we should not get taxed on food, beverages, or medical, but instead tax on consumer goods, TVs, clothing, unless it's secondhand, hotels, rental cars, etc. And perhaps there can be two tiers, a tax for locals and a tax for tourists. Show ID to get the locals discount. Just some thoughts. Good thinking, Coco.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great calls today. Keep them coming, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. We got Mark in Fort Benton. We're going to go to him next. Here we have a couple more messages. Let's see. Horse Lady in Deer Lodge, it would be helpful for conservatives to know who the rhinos are and their party. Can you post or talk about who they are legally? Of course we can. And if you go to Montana Talks, I know Aaron has a story on there where he talked about that. And we'll, if I can find that, I'll read it. But yeah, you can go there and find out. And there's a lot of talk about it, so you can see who it is. Let's see, Ivan. I'm in favor of a sales tax with the constitutional amendment to get rid of the income tax. Otherwise, it's not a good deal. Exactly. Then we got, let's see, Owen in Bozeman. How about abolishing income tax completely and move over a 1% transaction tax? This would actually generate revenue to offer real property tax relief and capture revenue from folks visiting. Sales tax is the worst. I'm not sure what the transaction tax is. Seems like a sales tax to me, but I would like to hear more about that. And then Dave in Stevensville, I'm all for a sales tax if property taxes are eliminated for two reasons. One, I don't own my home if I don't pay my property tax. The county does. And two, I would be surprised if a majority of renters realize some of their rent payments goes towards the owner's property tax when the renters vote for more costly programs that will be paid through property taxes. That's right. When anytime they vote something through that costs money and it affects property owners, then that gets passed on to renters as well. So you're absolutely right there. Let's go to Mark, see what he's got going today. Mark, go ahead.
Hello there. You're doing a great job filling in for Aaron there. So
thank you.
Thank you. And yes, I very much agree with the sales tax issues that we should try and make something work that everybody agrees to. But I have a friend that's a retired attorney, and his major is economy, and he's an economist. And he says, Mark, we are being penalized by income and property taxes. Whereas if we have what's called a consumption tax, which is another big word for sales tax, then we pay as we go, and we're not being penalized to make income and have own property. And that was his theory over the years that I've been talking to him as a good friend for many, many years, and he still is a proponent of that. Unfortunately, he doesn't live in Montana, but we're longtime friends and went to high school and college together, and that's his theory. And I thought I'd pass that on for thoughts to be, you know, mentioned on the air here for all of us to ponder.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark, for sharing that with us. That's a great point. I think all those views are worth listening to. I think we should have open, honest discussions. I think we should listen to both sides, listen to everything, and then make up our minds. I'm against it if they don't get rid of something else permanently and constitutionally. I mean, you just it irritates me, especially when I read kind of one of the ideas they're floating about, well, we're going to lower property tax, but we have the ability to raise it back up later if we need to. And that's the kind of stuff that we just can't allow. We have to really read it and watch it. And so speaking of that, as I mentioned a while ago, and I'm going to mention it again because it's worth knowing, if you want to know what they're doing in the Montana legislature right now, you can go to bills.legmt.gov. That's bills, B-I-L-L-S, .legmt.gov. And you can see all the bills right there, the bill number, the short title, the primary sponsor, the status date, the status, all of that. It's all right there. And there's pages and pages and pages of these things. So it's crazy. And if I had a little more time, there's a few that I would like to have gone over with you. And maybe during the next break, I can have time to do that. But we got another message here from Chancey in Kalispell. Is there any word on House Bill 829? This bill will charge $30 per motorized boat and $10 per not motorized boat. I have several boats. This seems like a huge money grab for AIS. We already pay money in our fishing license. Well, you know what? That's a great question. And what you can do is go to this website and look it up. You can search for it and find out what's going on, where it is. Let's see. House Bill 829. All right. Generally, the short title is Generally Revised Laws Related to Aquatic Invasive Species. That was tabled in committee. So the status date was 3/25/25. tabled in committee. So if it's tabled, it's probably not coming off the table. That would be my guess. I personally have tabled a few things in my day in meetings, and that's where things go to die. But that's how you can keep an eye on it. The Bill Explorer at bills.legmt.gov. Type in the bill number. I typed in 829, popped right up. Didn't even have to push a button to hit enter. It just, boom, there it is. So that's a great tool. Use it. All right, let's see. Carrie in Franny, Wyoming. The perk of no sales is making it worthwhile to shop in Montana. The perk of no sales tax is making it worthwhile to shop in Montana. I spend a heck of a lot of more money in Montana than I do in my home state of Wyoming. So, yeah, even though we're not taxing those people, they are helping our businesses here. People are benefiting from it.
Did you know?
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've had a great day so far. It's a beautiful day out there. It's sunny, partly cloudy, but beautiful. Temperature is amazing. So get outside, enjoy this Freedom Friday. I hope you enjoy your weekend, too. Make it count. Do something worthwhile. So we had a lot of talk about sales tax, property taxes, all this stuff. You know, if the government would quit spending so much money, then they wouldn't need to take our money. And we can help that by stopping relying on the government for everything and asking them to do things for us. It's interesting that, you know, you have President Trump going through our federal government, trying to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, and saving all kinds of money. And then you have politicians that are just freaking out about that, and they're throwing fits. Well, you know, why would they do that? Ask yourself, why would they be against cleaning up government, saving money, getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse? I don't know. Could be some of them are making money off of whatever it is they're trying to eliminate. And some of it, you know, I'm sure they've done favors for people and that money's going there for that favor and who knows. But anyway, nobody should be against trying to clean up our federal government, especially not the people in our federal government. So I think it's a good thing, but we need to do that everywhere. We need to do that at the state level, the federal level, or national level, all of it. Let's see. Got a message from Caden. Why doesn't Montana post their spending? And if they do, where can we find it? That's a good question. With any government money handling, you can guarantee a larger than needed chunk to the bill writers and political favors. And when did public servant turn into increasing your net worth? That's a great point. People go to Washington, D.C. and get rich. They're not going to get rich here at the state level, but when you go there to the federal level, they make money. Let's cut the government's payroll, and then we can talk about increasing spending. Yeah, how bad do you want to represent the people in your districts or your states? You know, will you do it for less money? I don't know. A lot of those people are already rich. You know, it's crazy, too, that when you have somebody like Nancy Pelosi, let's say. Now, she's been called out a couple of times on her investments and how much money they make that seems to be insider trading because something will get signed or they'll sell some stock before this happens or buy some stock before it happens. And they've pretty much caught her dead to rights. And she just says, well, so what? And that's because they don't do anything to each other for that. So, you know, I think there's several things that can be done. One is stop all trading while you're serving in Congress. And you know what? If you serve there for 60 years, which you shouldn't anyway, then you're not going to trade stocks for 60 years. I think this is fair. And I think people would spend less time there if they were restricted and they couldn't game the system and make the kind of money that they make in Washington, D.C. So let's tighten that up. Let's tighten up who they can accept money from. And you know what? We need term limits. We need age limits. I hate to say this. I'm getting older, and I'm not against it. But if you've watched your parents get older, their views, their thoughts, their ideals changes as they get older. And there's no denying it. It happens. And I'm not saying that some people can't be very sharp at 90 or 100 years old, because I know a few, but I also know a lot of people that they just aren't that sharp anymore. But here we are. We're allowing these politicians to serve in Washington, D.C. for decades and decades. Look at Joe Biden. He was there so long, in the end, he didn't even know where he was half the time. And that's a great example of why we need age limits. I think we need them for politicians, and I definitely think we need them on the Supreme Court. But, you know, just an idea, just my opinion. And, you know, if you get mad about that, well, sorry, but that's how I feel. So, and if you want to tell us how you feel, you can call us at 406-294-0970, and you can let us know. We got Gene in Kalispell on line one. Let's go to Gene.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, you bet.
Okay, well, I was listening to this gal that sent a message, or whoever it was from Wyoming, about they come here to shop, and it's encouraging in one regard, but the law in Wyoming, I grew up in Wyoming, but I've lived in Montana for many years, and I was kind of taken back by the income tax situation, and that the sales tax seems to be a holy grail of where we're not going to have any sales tax. But it's something that, looking at from a distance, having lived in both states and for a number of years in both states, I see Wyoming, you're required to pay sales tax if you come to another state and buy something and take it back to your home in Wyoming. So that's one issue. They do that with vehicles or whatever. But Montana has all these mineral royals, these minerals and coal and gas and oil that they could tap and do a mineral royalties thing like they do in Wyoming. There's just a few counties in Wyoming that pay for pretty much all the schools. They have a sales tax, but they have zero income tax. There is no income tax in Wyoming. So it would be, okay, that's kind of what people are talking about here, and that makes sense that the people who are actually spending money can actually be the ones that are paying for the issues. They also in Wyoming have what they call a capital facilities tax, where the individual communities, they identify a project that they want done, that they need in their community. They can vote on a sales tax, a 2 or 3% sales tax, that goes on to pay for a library or a recreation facility or whatever they want, and then as soon as it's paid for, it comes off. And so the tax is there for a short period of time and comes off. So the communities like Kalispell, for instance, or Whitefish, they can put a tax on. But the voters have to vote on each one of those capital facilities tax. If enough people want the facility, then it gets voted on and it goes off. It goes on the ballot, and then it comes back off again, just like it, you know, it kind of makes a lot of sense the way they do it. I really like Montana. The sales tax issue is great, but we do pay a lot more in taxes than we did when we lived in Wyoming, and the property taxes there seem to be very low compared to what they happen to be in Montana. So it's a trade-off, but maybe somebody looking at both states and figuring out what they can do to help benefit all the citizens of Montana. We got all this coal, oil, and gas here that could possibly be some kind of a tax on that goes out to the country. Wyoming does it, and the money comes into the state, and those bills, those funds actually pay for education, and they pay for the things that bring the rest of the taxes down. So it's there's a lot of good in that regard. That's just my two cents worth.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that there's a way that they can figure this out to where it makes sense. And but, you know, I just don't trust them to do that, really. I don't really trust anything that they come to us with because they've just proven in the past to not really be that trustworthy. But, hey, we can always try, and I'll listen to anything. If they want to present it and it makes sense, let's talk about it. Let's go to Lou in Carbon County. Lou, what's on your mind?
I wanted to add a point about the proposed sales tax and property taxes. I oppose the sales tax for a specific reason that once they get their foot in the door, the foot will never leave. The idea that this proposed sales tax is dedicated to one particular area and it will never be increased is fool's gold, because administratively or legislatively or even at the ballot box, they can change the dedication for the tax and they can raise the tax. I believe our property taxes are more than fair. Our home versus a home in Iowa and a home in Pennsylvania is much, much less. And our property taxes are fair and they go to the appropriate areas. This sales tax is just another reason for government to take money and we'll never see it again.
That's right. I agree with you. I've seen it over and over again. It never goes away. Their foot's in the door all the time, and they get you by, it's only a quarter of a penny. It's a quarter of a cent. Well, you know, John Tester once told me, George, that's just a drop in the bucket. And I said, yeah, but you fill up a bucket one drop at a time. So there you go. Well, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. You know, it's, yeah, he's right. It'll never go away. It'll only go up, and you can't, you know, they never take anything away. Rarely. All right, Tim and Kalispell about the school board levy. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, well, on a school board levy for District 5, you know, I don't have a problem with the levy, but I do have a problem with them making it permanent, okay? They're talking that I'd have to pay $8 a month for the rest of my life. Okay, well, I don't want to do that. So I think they should put a time limit on that levy. And I'd also like to see a line by line of what they're going to spend that $3 million on. Okay. So, you know, School Board District 5, how about make it if they want a levy, which they haven't had one approved in 18 years, how about make it non-permanent? Give us a line by line what you're going to spend the money on, and then validate that you spent the money there. Okay.
Absolutely. Be accountable for the money, where it's going to go. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, let's see. Be open and transparent with it, and maybe people would be more apt to vote for it.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Deere & Company has filed an answer to the Federal Trade Commission's lawsuit alleging the tractor manufacturer holds a monopoly over its repair services. The FTC says the company unfairly drives up costs and restricts farmers from fixing their equipment in a timely manner. Attorneys defended Deere in a federal court by repeatedly denying allegations that its business practices are unlawful. Manufacturing Dive says the issue over equipment repair practices have been building for years, with technological advancements that companies say are designed to make consumers' lives easier create headaches for those looking to fix their tractors. While Deere offers a different repair tool to customers and independent repair shops, the FTC claims that version is inferior to the one available to authorized dealers, saying the tool is allegedly incapable of doing all repairs on John Deere equipment. The company acknowledged the existence of two tools, but denied one was inferior. And if you know a college student looking for scholarship opportunities, Certified Angus Beef is awarding $100,000 to college students passionate about food and agriculture from the Colvin Scholarship Fund. Applications are across three categories and open through April 14th. For more information and to apply, just visit Certified Angus Beef online. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. George Blackard in for Aaron Flint on this beautiful Freedom Friday. Got another message here from Ice Axe in Columbia Falls. He says, I pay roughly $750 a month on my primary residence property tax. If I didn't have to pay that, I could spend that money on beer. Yeah, you could spend it on anything you wanted to, that's for sure. So, you know, there were a lot of stories I wanted to get to today, and time flies so fast, and we've had so many good callers and good points that I'm not going to get to them all, but there was a story that I saw earlier in the week. It was a new report exposes staggering amount of money pouring into top U.S. schools. And so this money that they're talking about that's going to these elite universities and all kinds of universities is from foreign countries, Russia, China, places like that. And it's blows my mind that, well, you know what? It doesn't. It's money. And anytime money is involved, then you're going to see people that put money ahead of everything else. And, you know, these schools, they're not going to turn down this money. They don't care who it comes from. And so you wonder why kids are learning what they learn in college. It's because there's so much influence from money and foreign countries and special interest. And, I mean, it's all of that. It's all of that. And so I think you have to remember that. And I think foreign countries should be limited on what they can spend in this country. But, you know, think about it. If you want to change the way one country works and what they believe in, if you can start by indoctrinating or, well, we'll just call it that, your children, then they're going to grow up believing that way. You're going to influence that, and therefore you're going to change the country. And so we really should be watching this. The report states, it's from a nonprofit, nonpartisan government watchdog. They say that U.S. universities in recent years, including $20 billion to some of the most prestigious universities in the country, $60 billion in foreign gifts and contracts were funneled into American colleges and universities. $60 billion, including $20 billion alone to elite schools like Harvard, Yale, and others. So if they're taking this money from these foreign countries, why is our government giving them money? Why do we give these universities money anyway? You know, I don't understand why we do that. And, you know, I think there needs to be some reform in our university system, for sure, because, you know, our young people are learning some awfully strange things there. Another story I saw earlier in the week, might have even been last week, was Bernie Sanders. He gets up during an interview after a nonsense question about AOC. I found this really funny because, you know, Bernie, he's the libertarian who speaks out against the rich man. He speaks out against the man. And he's rich, and he owns a couple of houses and has, you know, quite a bit. His time in Washington, D.C., has been very kind to him. He's never really had a job other than politician, and it's served him well. But he was going around the country on a tour with AOC, and he was raising money. Of course, you know, they're always out there raising money for the party and that sort of thing. But he's out there with her, and then he sits down for this interview, and the guy asked him a question about AOC and should she challenge Chuck Schumer for that position. And he goes, I'm not going to answer a ridiculous question like that. And he gets up and he walks off, and the reporter did manage to get him to come back so he could ask him another question. But, you know, what does he expect? He's out there kind of stumping for her, raising money for the party. I think it's a legitimate question. But it's a question he can't answer. He can't answer that question, because if he does, then Chuck Schumer knows where he stands. And I'm just going to guess you probably don't want Chuck Schumer on your bad side if you're in Washington, D.C., which is another reason why we should have term limits and age limits and everything else. Chuck Schumer has been around way too long, and that guy is he's not for our country. He's for himself. He's for the party. The rhetoric that this guy throws out there is insane. And, you know, he came out and said, I need to take Trump down. I need to take the president down. He didn't say that's the president. We need to work to keep this country going, and we need to make this the best country we can make it. He said, as a member of Congress, I need to take Trump down. So right there, fire him. The people in his state should fire him and never reelect him, because he's not working for the country. He's working for himself, and he's working for his party. That's it. So, you know, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. They just come out and say the quiet part out loud. It's crazy. There was a story about a representative from another state. I think Colorado, I believe, is where it was. Yes. The headline was Blue State GOP Rep Forced to Remove Second Amendment Sticker from Laptop. They told him it was offensive. So he was in the chambers on the floor, and I think he was speaking, and he had his laptop open, and there was a Second Amendment sticker on there, and somebody stopped him and complained that that sticker being there was offensive. So go figure. Go figure. I don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, people, I've said it before, I don't get offended. I don't get offended at anything. You can say whatever you want to me. It's not going to offend me, because I'm not going to give you that kind of power over me. You're free to say anything you want to and look like as big an idiot or as big a genius as you can be. But you're not going to offend me, because I don't care enough about what you think to hurt my feelings and let it offend me and ruin my day or anything like that. Say what you need to say. I may or may not agree with it, but you're certainly not going to offend me. So I'm not going to give you that power, and you shouldn't give anybody that power over you either. But when you say, when people say, I'm offended by that, they're just showing you their weakness. They're showing you how weak they really are. And they're using that as a weapon back against you, because they hope that by them saying, you have offended me, that you're going to back down or change what you said or change your stance. Back down from them. Don't back down. And just because they're offended, that's a personal problem. That's not your problem. That's their problem. So I mentioned earlier today, there's a story on Montana Talks by Aaron, and it says, Trinde Aragua, illegal alien gang arrests tied to Shelby, Montana. So these Trinde Aragua and these violent gang members that were shipping out to El Salvador to prison there, this gal from Montana, her name is Kristen Louise Mitchell, 41-year-old female from Shelby. She helped bring these criminals to Montana. She has previously been arrested and convicted of, one, bringing in illegal aliens without presentation. She was guilty and sentenced to 1 year and 1 day with 2 years of supervised release. And then another time, she was found guilty of bringing in illegal aliens for financial gain and aiding and abetting. She was guilty, sentenced to 24 months with 3 years of supervised release. She's also committed multiple probation violations. So, you know, here's a third time, and maybe it should be one of those three strikes, you're out type of deal. Somebody asked me a very good question earlier in the week about this prison in El Salvador and us sending these violent criminal gang member illegal aliens there. they can't send U.S. citizens there, but they are sending illegal aliens there. And some people are screaming and crying about it, that you can't do that. That's a terrible place. Well, these are terrible people. They belong in a terrible place. But we have an agreement with the president of El Salvador that we will send these people there and we pay them. We don't pay them a lot, but to them in El Salvador, it's a lot. And it's enough that it's going to continue to fund their prison system. So, yes, we are paying them to take our prisoners, but I don't know how much. Maybe you can tell me. Give us a call.
Critter.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines all lit up, so we're going to go a speed round through all these calls. I want to try and get everybody in. So first off, we got Dave in Kalispell about sales tax and school taxes. Dave, what's on your mind?
Yeah, with all of the industry that's been removed from our area, our school taxes are very high, close to 70% on our property taxes. And I think they could do a better job of using our state lands, because that used to pay for a lot of it, and get our timber industry going back here again. And also with the sales tax, I think a simple way of doing it would be have the sales tax, and being the tourism industry can pay the sales tax. So if you're a Montana resident, you do not have to pay the sales tax. Just if you're not a Montana resident, you pay the sales tax.
Right.
And that's my thought. It used to be reversed. Like in Washington, you could go over there, and if you showed them your Montana ID, you didn't have to pay the sales tax. So just reverse it.
Right. Exactly. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. There you go. That's another way to look at it, and maybe another solution. How about Beth and Whitefish? What's on your mind?
Good morning. I wanted to comment on the sales tax issue.
Sure.
I support a sales tax if they get rid of either income or property tax. And the reason why is that I would much rather pay taxes on the money I spend than the money I save. Income tax taxes me on everything I make, regardless of what I do with it. But sales tax, I have a choice of whether or not I want to spend and how much I want to spend. It also shifts some of the tax burden to people that don't live here. So I do support that. And I remember several years ago, Representative Kerry White brought this before our legislature. It went nowhere, but he would be a good person to have on to comment about it. He did the math. He figured it out. And he also said, and this may not be true, I don't know, but this is what I remember, that he said our state constitution limits the sales tax. We couldn't have it over a certain percentage without a constitutional amendment. So that is some protection against them raising it.
Yeah.
So I think it should be looked at seriously, and I think you should have him on your show.
All right. Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Beth. Hope you have a great weekend. Another good point, another thing to think about. And, I mean, this is great. This is how you get things done. And, obviously, we have a lot of educated callers that know what they're talking about. Next, we got Cannon Man and the Flathead. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just curious if you guys remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, a guy named Ted Kaye. Ted Kaczynski?
Oh, Ted Kaczynski, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he sent a document to New York about these colleges and all this stuff that was going on in the colleges back then. And they blew it off and same old stuff. Anyway, so that he thought, all right, you don't want to do that. So he started sending packages out, and that's when these people in the colleges were getting facelifts.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. The Unabomber. And he,
need help. We can't figure him out. I swear you should leave your office and wander around. But this guy, he was just basically telling people, look, they're doing this in the colleges. They're making a mess. They're, you know, undermining the colleges in the country. And they didn't believe him.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
The people nowadays trying to say that, look, they're doing this stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, they are. Pay attention. Turn on your 360 and look around a little bit.
Exactly. Yep. You bet. Well, thanks for the call, Cannon Man. You know, that happens a lot in history. People point out what's going on and everybody turns a blind eye to it. You know, I can think of one great instance. Back after World War One, Eddie Rickenbacker told everyone the Germans are rebuilding their army. They're rebuilding their army. They need to be stopped. You need to pay attention to what they're doing. Everybody turned a blind eye to it until they invaded Poland. So that's an instance, a huge one, where somebody was paying attention, tried to sound the alarm, and nobody paid attention. Let's go to Marilyn last here on line four. Marilyn says Bernie Sanders is not a libertarian.
Well, I had to crack up when you said that. I mean, but then it's really not funny. He's a communist. Come on. And we are so gullible and naive and too nice about how we deal with these people. And another thing, I can't believe how we're twisting ourselves into pretzels trying to figure out how the government can tax us more. We need to scream and yell at the top of our lungs to stop the spending. We want limited government. I'm 74 years old. I've been saying that for 50 years. And yet, we do our best. I don't. People do their best to try and figure out how government can tax us more. And we've got plenty of treasure on our land. And, yeah, we should be using it. There was the coal fund, but these leftists, these Marxists, they made sure that we can't mine and our timber industry's gone. And we used to use that money for schools and stuff. But now I don't think the schools are worth a dime because they're not even turning out kids that can read or do math. So there. Okay.
Exactly. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Got to go. Hope everyone has a great weekend. You know, go out there, study, do your research. Go to this bills.legmt.gov. Find out what they're doing up in Helena. Educate yourself. Everybody, have a great weekend. It's beautiful out there.